and welcome to Frontier FM, where we decode the trends, tackle the tactics, and help you navigate the nonprofit space with confidence. I'm your host, Naomi Perks, and my co-host today is Anna Melton. Anna is an account director at Frontier, an industry leader in nonprofit marketing and fundraising strategy. Together, we're going to break down the latest trends, challenges, and opportunities in the nonprofit world. Specifically today, we're going to talk about this new holiday, Monthly Giving Week. But first, Anna, this is your first foray into the Podverse. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Naomi. This is very exciting. My first time on the pod. But a bit of a brief history about me. So I actually started out in marketing and communications. My first role was working for local media back in the UK where I'm from. But I think, interestingly, that really early experience sparked my love of storytelling and creating a sense of community. I found that in local media particularly, you see firsthand how deeply people care about where they live, whether that's a news piece that highlights a local hero or a campaign that rallies people around a shared cause. There's really something special about how these communities come together, and that's always stayed with me. But I think I really found my groove in fundraising, and for the last 7 years, I've had the privilege of supporting charities, first in the UK and now in Canada, which has been my home for the past 2 years. And yeah, I feel very lucky to work in an industry that inspires me every day. Really excited to talk more about that today.
And we're so excited to have you. And I know that our clients are very lucky to have you on their accounts. And we all love working with you. So yay, thank you again. At the start, I mentioned that we're going to talk about Monthly Giving Week. So in case you haven't heard, 2025 is the inaugural year for this new week. And like many fundraisers, I really hope it sticks. And before we go any further, I just wanted to give a hat tip to the folks behind this new Giving Week. Giving Tuesday, RKD, and Positive Equation are the brains behind this new week. Giving Tuesday has been such a global success, and really hope that Monthly Giving Week takes off just like that. So without further ado, let's get into it. Why monthly giving and why now? Anna, I know we've all been talking to our clients about the importance of monthly giving since probably forever, but it really seems to have found its way into our client visits and strategic planning sessions, especially this year. Why now?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think monthly giving has always been on the radar, but it does feel like something has definitely shifted this year. It's no longer seen as a nice to have. It feels very much like a strategic priority for lots of our organizations that we work with. So I think in terms of why now, it really comes down to a perfect storm of behavior, economics, and strategy as well. And I think if we start with donors, we are very much living in this subscription economy. People are used to small ongoing payments for things they care about, whether that's your streaming service or the meal kits that you subscribe to. Giving monthly just fits into how people spend and how they support now. So it feels familiar. It feels manageable. I think people want to have that choice and control over how they support organizations. But I think what's really moving the needle for our clients is what monthly giving does for the organization. At a time when costs are rising, where donor retention is becoming more and more challenging, or perhaps we're dealing with a postal strike. But monthly giving really offers something rare. It offers predictability. You've got this steady, reliable base of support you can actually plan around. I think monthly giving rose again last year. I think we saw reports suggest that monthly giving revenue grew by 11% last year, and that's only going to continue. But to be honest, it's not only about revenue, it's also retention. What we're seeing is that monthly donors tend to stick around for longer. So if you consider across the sector, let's say retention rate for one-time gifts tends to hover around 50-60%, but for monthly it can be as high as 90 or 95%. So these people are super valuable to your organization. They are going to stick around, and they are going to provide real value to organizations in the long term.
Absolutely. And on that note, monthly donors can be a funnel for legacy giving as well, because their $10 a month can easily turn into 5% gift in their will or something like that, right? They want to continue with their legacy after they're gone. And if we've treated them right along that donor journey, they will remember the nonprofit in their will.
And I think this idea of community as well, I think that's a space that nonprofits and charitable organizations can authentically have a stake in. And I see corporations doing it all the time. I mean, I signed up to a gym at the start of the week. It's a little bit too late in the year to be doing all my New Year's resolutions, but there we go. But they had
never too late.
But they had a kind of tiered subscription, which I found really interesting. The kind of lower level, you could go to the gym at off-peak times. Then there was a mid-tier where you could use their gym and get some PT sessions. And then there was a higher tier where you got, I think, a branded water bottle or something like that. But I think the point is they were really trying to create this sense of community in this community space. And that's something that charities naturally do every single day. We are people helping people, giving to this community. We are a community of supporters who are helping organizations. And I don't think it's being capitalized on enough right now. And once again, these more commercial brands at times doing it in a way that organizations like charities should be.
Absolutely. And you really hit the nail on the head there talking about the community. Last year, we had Nicole DeNessi and Jennifer Robbins, who in episode 75 of the podcast, we had them on talking about the 2024 giving report. And that was one of the big findings, was that people are still seeking. I know it's been like 5 years now, over 5 years since the pandemic, but people are still seeking that lost community that we had before the pandemic. And as you say, nonprofits and charities, they're so well positioned to become that community, and something like a monthly giving program can create that community, and to be able to leverage that and have people feel connected and see that they're making that difference is so important. Monthly giving sounds like it's just a natural fit. It's easy for the donors. It's super great for the charities. And it's made so easy now with different types of digital platforms as well, that people can manage it on their own with Fundraise Up and Glass Register, just a couple of examples. I'm curious, if it's so great, why do you think so many charities are shy away from talking about their monthly giving programs, or just if they don't have a program, just monthly giving in general?
Yeah, I think I agree. There is definitely sometimes a bit of a reluctance. There are two phrases I absolutely love. The first one is, if you don't try, you already know the outcome. And the second one is, better done than perfect. And I think that kind of sums up my first point around this, is that organizations sometimes feel like it can feel too big and expensive. And I think that's a common hesitation that we tend to hear. But the great thing about monthly giving is it doesn't have to be overwhelming. You don't need to launch a fully fledged, high branded, multi-channel campaign right out of the gate. I would actually encourage you to start small. A simple donation page that clearly explains the value of monthly giving is a really great first step. And if you pair that with a few well-crafted email communications that start to introduce the program and invite people to join, that can be a really great step. So I would definitely encourage organizations to start small if they feel as though it feels quite overwhelming.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you don't need to start out of the gate with this great big branded program with a name and a logo, that you can just start with introducing your donors to becoming monthly donors. Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely. I think as long as you clearly explain the value of monthly giving to both the supporter and the organization, that's a really neat place to start. Just make sure you have a really clearly defined proposition of why monthly giving is so important and why joining this special community is going to benefit the supporter as well.
I love that.
Okay, so I think the other one I hear quite regularly is this concern that it will replace one-time gifts. I think one of the most common misconceptions I hear is that it won't pay off right away. And I think, yes, to a certain extent, that's true. It's a long-term investment. It's not a quick fix, but that's exactly why it's so valuable. Monthly giving is a bit like planting a tree. At first, it might seem slow, but over time, it grows into something far more sustainable and substantial. As you build this base of recurring donors, you are in fact creating the foundation that can fund your organization consistently. So no matter what's happening in the short term. So it is a slow burn, but it's one that builds the most reliable fire you've ever had.
That's a really good point. I've heard that folks are concerned that when they convert someone into a monthly donor, then they're never going to donate to an annual campaign again. So they've lost that annual giving opportunity for their matches or Giving Tuesday and that sort of thing. And I know that's not true. I was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I've heard this as well. I think the truth is monthly donors don't replace one-time givers. In fact, I'd argue that monthly givers will also contribute during specific campaigns or appeals that resonate with them because they are more deeply connected to your cause. I don't think they replace. I think what we are looking at here is monthly givers becoming a really important part of your program. And you can rely on them as well, as I just said, to give during peak campaign moments.
Absolutely. Is there other feedback that you get when you're talking about creating a monthly donor program or including that in their appeals from your clients?
Yeah, I think the other one I've heard before is around who's going to own this. But I think the thing I'd say to that is you don't need an entire department. You really just need a passionate champion to help drive this forward. And really a dedicated person can do wonders.
So true. And I know one of the ones that I've also heard is, I don't know how to get started because our system doesn't allow for it, our donation platform. And as we started at the beginning, there are some incredible, simple, inexpensive tools, and even free. Glass Register is a free donation tool, does offer easy monthly giving integrated right into that platform. So it's not like you have to have this really expensive program to set that up. So it makes it easy for the nonprofits as well.
And also just to say that person doesn't need to be in charge of everything, but they do need to take ownership of the process, to track progress. I think in many cases it's about building the right relationships across the organization to make sure everyone's aligned, but really just having that one person to get the ball rolling and take charge of it really.
I guess one question that does come up sometimes is, how do we get started and how do we identify who we want to target? And because not everyone, if all of our donors are monthly donors, then that doesn't work either. It's all about diversifying your donor base. So I'm wondering what thoughts you have on how someone can look at their database, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or Salesforce, as to how to start identifying those people. Because I think also some organizations might think that they're too small to have monthly giving donors. And even tracking their donors in a Excel spreadsheet, you're not too small. You can start converting some of those donors to monthly giving. It's just getting that understanding as to how do we do that.
Absolutely. And I think the first place to start would be having a look at your multi-gift donors. So having a look at your file and having a look at how many people are giving more than once, more than twice, maybe more than three times in a year, because they are prime candidates for monthly giving. They are showing commitment. They are showing that they believe in your cause. So I would suggest starting to build sort of segmentation around those multi-gift donors. The other thing to look at would be people that have been donating to your organization for a length of time, because they, again, show that they are committed to your organization and are loyal as well.
That's great ideas, Anna. Thank you so much. I feel like we've really done a pretty good job at demystifying some of the reasons why nonprofits are afraid to have the conversation with their internal team or their board, and hopefully we've provided some people with some of the reasons why it's not so scary. And it's like you said before, it's like planting the tree, right? So you get the shade one day and it's the long game, and it really does pay off. Now, I know we've been looking at a lot of different examples of monthly giving programs to share with our clients and to talk about. Do you have any really great examples that have really stood out for you?
Yeah, I've got an example that I've drawn on a few times when trying to explain what we feel a good monthly giving program looks like. It's from an NGO called Concern Worldwide, and the monthly giving program is called Concerned Citizens. And I really do encourage listeners to go and take a look at it, because I feel like it really hits the nail on the head for a few reasons. I think the first one is because they call it membership and they really position it around this idea of community and membership. They have tiered ask amounts. So depending on your giving levels, it's really clear what those donations will help fund and in return, what you can expect as a supporter as well. I think that kind of goes back to our earlier conversation around people's familiarity with subscription models and this idea that we expect something in return for our support as well. And that doesn't always mean a physical thing, but what it does mean is I need to know that my money is being spent effectively and I need to know where it is being used as well and what I can expect from joining this community. I also really love that they use this idea of almost like a manifesto. So the introduction is, we are concerned citizens. We see possibilities where others see limits to ending extreme poverty. And it just really, I find it quite rallying. And I haven't really seen many other organizations talk about community in that way. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a great example. And again, it's quite nicely branded and gives this sense of this wonderful community that you're joining.
That sounds amazing. I love the idea, like you were saying before, about having that community, right? And having that thing that brings you all together, that common cause, that manifesto sounds really great. I wanted to share another example from UNICEF, which they don't have that same level of community in terms of like, this is what you get. Right. And just to show another, a different way of going about it as well. If someone's sitting there thinking, oh, well, we don't have the bandwidth to create special events or create special newsletters for this group. You don't necessarily have to have that. But when you're talking about that, the tiers, it also shows where your money goes. And UNICEF, they have the brilliant line of, for just 33 cents a day, which is $10 a month, you can help, you can make a difference, and they show you that impact. And so with that 33 cents a day, it really breaks it down, makes it seem manageable for people and easy to fit in their budget. On their website, they also show what $20 a donation will provide and that sort of thing. And they actually, they don't have, it's not a branded program, which is interesting. It's just, we're encouraging you to make these gifts monthly because it provides us with this sustainable, reliable income and a revenue that they need to help people year round, right? So it's two different examples of approaching it and showing people that you don't necessarily have to have that branded program. I like the branded programs, but it could be seen as a barrier to entry, but they do identify the impact of that donation.
Yeah, and I think that's the really crucial thing is you're trying to explain to supporters, why should I give on a monthly basis rather than giving on a one time? And I think being able to effectively talk about why that ongoing support is needed and why it's really crucial to the advancement of programs and the future of that organization is probably the crucial factor.
I'm wondering if you've seen any examples that make you go, eek, maybe these people could really use a little bit of help. And we don't have to call out anyone. We can just talk about the examples of what you would consider a monthly donation page or even a donation page that could use a little bit of help.
Yeah, I think maybe overcomplicating it. I think also perhaps not really clearly explaining where those donations will go, why it's needed. I think it's important if you haven't got a branded program, let's say, to still have a value proposition of why that support is needed and why the supporters are crucial to that as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And I like the way you started that as well about talking about don't overcomplicate it, keep it simple. And let people know. I mean, it's the number one tenet of any good donation page is to have that a really strong value proposition. So why should I donate to you? And then explaining why in particular should I donate monthly? And we've talked about that. So it's easy for the donor to budget. It's easy for them to manage. And they're saving the organization on administrative costs. They're ensuring that the programs that they value can continue going on throughout the year, not relying to those peaks and valleys of donation trends throughout the year. And also about the great work that they do is should be featured on there. And also make it easy. Using one of these different types of donation platforms that has that monthly donation right there, easy for folks to click on and to access, right? And so make it easy and just make it natural.
I think so. And I think people are so used to that, the kind of quick payments, being able to buy things online at the click of a button. I don't think supporters are going to stick around if a donation form looks complicated or looks like it's going to take a long time. I think, unfortunately, we just don't have the kind of attention span to commit to something that looks difficult or is going to take a great deal of our time.
Absolutely. Once someone sets up their monthly donor program, and we did say that it's set it and forget it almost, like it just does go a little bit in autopilot. But I know that sometimes people take that too literally. They literally forget about those monthly donors, and that poses a risk as well. And you're going to start to see those monthly donors fall off. They're not going to renew when their credit card expires and they have to follow up with a new one, and they're not going to continue donating if you forget about them. And I find that a lot of organizations fall into this trap where they feel like they're afraid to talk to their monthly donors. They're afraid to let their monthly donors remember that they're donating monthly. They feel like, oh, maybe they did it by mistake. So if I just don't say anything, they're just going to keep on donating. And I think that's one of the reasons why some monthly donation programs, they don't flourish the way other ones do. And I'm just wondering what some of your thoughts would be on some of the other reasons why some of these monthly donation programs might fail or sputter a little bit and not turn into these beautiful shady trees that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I think set it and forget it is a good way of framing it. I think we still need stewardship. We still need to reach out to these monthly supporters and report back on why these donations are so crucial and how we're using their funds. I think stewardship can be really simple. You can send donors a thank you postcard, maybe just a quick update on how things are going. But you can also utilize your existing marketing and fundraising collateral. So I know a few organizations, they send out newsletters to their one-time supporters, but then they just have a neat kind of monthly branded newsletter cover. All of the content inside is the same. It's really low resource, but it looks like it's been put together for that specific audience. So I don't think you need to do a huge amount, but I think making sure that you have those touch points, those opportunities for those monthly supporters to perhaps feel part of the organization as well. I think other things that I've seen work really well is asking for their feedback. Perhaps you want to launch a survey or ask them about a particular program that you're running and asking for feedback on it. Monthly supporters perhaps want to feel a little bit more like a stakeholder almost in your organization. So asking for their opinion on things and wanting to get to know them a little bit better feels a bit more like a kind of relational fundraising rather than transactional.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a really great point. The monthly donors are set up to have that relational experience with them rather than transactional. And the stewardship is so key. And one thing I know that we've talked a lot about during client visits and strategy and planning for the coming year has been knowing and understanding your donors and segmenting. So we're seeing a lot of that in the for-profit world as well, is segmenting how they approach and they talk to us. And again, using the tools that you have available. And it's not that difficult to write variable paragraphs for your emails that you're sending out and for your print as well. And using the tools that are available to make it feel more special for that particular group, in particular, your monthly donors, letting them know that they are valued because they are donating on that monthly basis. I was a monthly donor for Bard on the Beach here in Vancouver. And it was so lovely that when I would go to the show, I would, as a monthly donor, I'd buy my tickets and go to the show. And there was an envelope there with a card and stuck on the seat in front of me with a nice thank you card, handwritten and signed by the artistic director, Christopher Gaze. And it was so lovely. You just felt special. You also, depending on what level you were donating at, you got invited to different events. I wasn't at an incredibly high level of donating. And I had this really nice piece. I remember that. It makes me want to continue being a monthly donor and also continue going to the shows. But yeah, so stewardship is really important and letting them know that you're special. I mean, all donors are special, and just letting them know in different ways how much you appreciate them. And like you said, it doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money or take up a lot of time.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just that level of personalization and recognition, I think, for their support that really goes the extra mile. But just in addition to that, actually, just talking about stewardship and how to elevate that. And I think we were talking a little bit around how does this weave into one-time gifts. I think don't be afraid to reach out to your monthly givers if you have a campaign that you think would resonate with them and they're likely to give a one-off cash gift in support of that. I think one thing we always say here at Frontier is that campaigns tend to work best if you have a genuine fundraising need or a timely and relevant story to tell. So, you know, if you're running a campaign that you feel would resonate with your monthly supporters, don't be afraid to ask if they would support a one-off cash gift to help elevate that campaign.
Absolutely. I know so many organizations don't want to ask. And like you said, these people are so committed. And they want to be asked, they want to help, and they'll let you know if they don't. But just because a couple of people might say no doesn't mean that you stop it for everyone.
That's it. And I think earlier I was saying, if you don't try, you already know the outcome. I think if you don't ask, you already know the outcome as well.
Yeah, I love that. And then always showing people the impact of their donation, like you were saying before, and that will encourage them to continue giving. Again, throwing back to the 2024 Giving Report episode 75, where they were talking about these younger donors in particular who are feeling like their donations don't matter. They don't see the problems of the world are so great that their donation is just a drop in a bucket and they're not going to be able to make a difference. And of course, if everyone takes that approach, then people are just going to stop giving. Every dollar literally counts. I mean, we just recently had the election in Canada, and just like every vote, there was that in Terrebonne, there was one riding where the MP won by one vote. So literally every vote counts, just like every dollar. If people stop donating because they feel like they're not going to make an impact, they certainly won't be making any impact because the revenue will dry up. So it's about showing people how valuable their donations are.
That's it. And I suppose making sure that the problem doesn't feel so insurmountable that no donation will ever help. I think we often talk about distilling our campaigns down to a problem and solution. Do our supporters feel like they are being part of the solution? And does it accurately fit the problem that we are bringing to them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And highlighting, I think a lot of the times too, that once you've highlighted the problem, it's a year-round problem, right? That these problems don't just occur when it's convenient for people to give. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of shifting the mindset as well. So we have our program set up. We are doing all the right things. We're doing our stewardship. And we want to report back to our executive director, to our board. And you know, I appreciate that data can be overwhelming. A lot of fundraisers are people and not number people. There are those that are both, but we like to talk to people, not sit and crunch numbers. But there are a few things I think that we should be setting up at the beginning so that we're set up for success in the long run and we're able to do that reporting. And it sometimes can be tricky to know, what do we want to measure? You measure nothing, you're not going to be able to report back. And if you measure everything, well, what's important there? What are some thoughts and guidance on what metrics to look at?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with the first point there. It's really starting with clear goals. I think before you measure any kind of success, we need to define what that success looks like for your organizations. So it might look like growing reliable or predictable revenue stream. It might be building a base of loyal supporters, but we do need to have really clear metrics so we know whether or not we have been successful or not. Really, I think the essential four metrics for monthly programs are looking at retention, looking at churn, looking at lifetime value and upgrade rate as well. And I think if you're reporting back to your board, once you've got those clear metrics in place, you can also start using benchmarks, not letting them boss you around. Your first year is a baseline. You can look at industry benchmarks, but not to be too discouraged by first year's results. Remember, it's a long game. We talked about that earlier. It is a slow burn, but one that will pay off eventually. So if you keep tracking, you'll see the growth and return.
Absolutely. That's some really good advice. And it's always be prepared before you start. Get ready before you start with the program, right? Know what your goals are at the outset. and measure those.
And I think if you're looking to upgrade, and I think if the question is, how do I report back on the effectiveness? I want to level up. I think, again, it comes back to building a plan for what's next. Now that you've reviewed where you are, ask, where do you want to go from here? So what are the next steps? Are we trying to upgrade people? Are we trying a new acquisition strategy to acquire more monthly supporters? Are we trying to improve retention? Are we reviewing our donation platform for better recurring gift management? I think with all of these things, it just boils down to, what are we trying to achieve and what does the best possible outcome look like? And then from there, you can start building strategies and figuring out what you want those metrics to look like.
So I think we're heading to coming up to the end. I'm just wondering if there's any last tips or advice that you want to share on thoughts on, be it stewardship or some of the flags that someone might raise about it's too difficult, it's this or that. Is there any few things that you feel like we need to share still?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first one would really be simplifying the process. Ensure the donation process looks straightforward, make sure it's mobile friendly, and make sure it looks easy to complete. As I said earlier, I don't think people have the attention span to stick around if it looks like I'm going to have to fill in 100 different fields on 100 different pages. We need to make sure that people really feel that instant gratification for joining that monthly giving program. I think the second thing, as we've talked about already, is communicating the impact. So make sure you regularly update donors on how their contributions are making a difference. And I love that example you gave earlier, Naomi, adding a bit of personal touch in there. Really make sure that it feels as though you are communicating to this donor on a personal level. And then also offering flexibility. I think increasingly we want choice and control. I think allowing donors to easily adjust or pause or cancel their monthly gifts is really important. And we need to make that look as easy as possible as well. And then finally, really just recognizing donors. So make sure that you show appreciation, as I said, through these personalized messages. If you can, try and have a think about what the stewardship journey looks like. So whether that's offering perhaps exclusive content or the opportunity to provide their own thoughts and opinions on certain things really goes a long way.
I also, you're talking about that stewardship, letting them know the impact, but also at the very beginning, let them know what they're part of. So like when someone signs up as a monthly donor, have a monthly donor onboarding series, 3 to 5 emails, doesn't have to be a lot, letting them know what they're going to get. Yes, they could read it on the website, but you want to remind them and keep that top of mind and make them feel really special. Just like we want to make everyone feel special when they make a any, you know, one-time gift, but you want to, in particular, remind them that they are part of this exclusive type of community of monthly donors. And it doesn't have to be something that's branded. And like you said, it doesn't have to be complicated. We can keep it super simple while still letting folks know that they're appreciated and they're doing a lot of great things with their monthly donations. Anna, thank you so much for joining us on your very first podcast and look forward to having you back again soon. Before you go, I wanted to ask you if you had any podcast or book recommendations for our listeners as we are heading off into summertime, if there's anything that you can recommend that people can listen to on walks or on those lazy beach days.
Well, my favorite podcast is obviously this one, Naomi, but if I had to select a close second, I encourage you to listen to a podcast called The Rest is History. It's super interesting and very varied. They will cover everything from 1 minute ancient Rome, another minute to James Bond or weird stuff in between, like the history of the Loch Ness Monster. So it's very varied. If you're interested in learning something new, I encourage you to take a listen. It's not dry either. There are some humorous moments in there. Yeah, definitely have a listen.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. So this is why I ask the questions, because I always want to make sure that I have new podcasts to listen to. And that was a really great recommendation. Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. Your support helps more listeners find the show and stay informed about the Canadian nonprofit sector. And for questions or follow-up, and if you want to learn more about monthly giving programs, please reach out to Anna or myself on our LinkedIn profiles or visit us at frontier.io. And once again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back soon.
Thanks for having me. Goodbye.
Bye.